Morning.
Morning.
It's a beautiful day in the Lord today. So we're going to be looking at being the light in the darkness. And I don't know how many of you have ever visited a cave. I love to visit caves. I love to go down, and you have the stalactites that are coming down from the ceiling, and the stalagmites are coming up from the floor, and they join together. And just like when you're laying out on the grass and you're looking up at the clouds and you're looking for pictures and formations, they do the same thing in caves with the formations within the cave. However, in every cave tour that I have ever been on, they get you down in the middle of nowhere and they turn off the lights. Now, when they turn off the lights, you can see nothing. Absolutely, positively nothing. It is so dark that you cannot see your hand in front of your face. However, they say that there is a cave blindness. That when you have been in a cave in that much darkness for 2 or 3 days, that you can sort of see your hand when you go like this. Not because you can actually see your hand, but because your brain is trying to see. And it has seen your hand in front of your face, and so you hallucinate to see the hand. You can continue, as you're in cave darkness, to continue to hallucinate. We're going to be looking in, the first scripture we're going to look for in is Isaiah. Now, Isaiah is in the Old Testament. And so I love it if you have your Bibles to open them up. And if you do have your Bible, if you open it up in the middle, you should get to about the book of Psalms. And we have Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. And that's where you need to go. Isaiah chapter 9. In the Bible, darkness is compared to our life without Jesus. Our brains, when we are in sin, continue to look for that missing piece. And many people and many of us try and fill that peace with things of the world. Drugs, sex, alcohol, pornography, pain medications, or we try and fill it with success or with ourselves, and it is not possible. So in Isaiah chapter 9, now, you have to understand, I've been a children's pastor, so if I make things very simple for you, that's okay. If you're looking in Isaiah and you see the big number, that's the chapter 9. And then you go down to the little number, and you find out that there's a 2. But guess what? We have friends and brothers and sisters who have not met Jesus yet out there, and they may not know these things. And it's important for us to continually instruct our children, our youth, our new brothers and sisters in Christ so that they can become more and more grounded in Him. In Isaiah 9:2, now he's actually during that point predicting or prophesying about the coming of Christ. And first of all, he's going to be talking about the world. The people that walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of shadow. In the shadow of death. So he is talking about the great light, Jesus. The great light, God. The great life, the thing that your soul in its darkness is searching for. And you have been in time hallucinating, as you will, that this thing or this big house or this bottle of pills or this activity is going to fill that empty spot, and it doesn't. And so we end up in a darkness, and we end up kind of dirty like this. So Jesus comes into our life and he begins to clean us. So we have this sin in our life and he's going to clean us of this sin. Now let me just tell you, because I'm going to tell you the honest to goodness truth. The first thing that we have to do is that we have got to admit that we have sinned. And let me tell you, sometimes admitting that you have sinned feels like this. Why? We don't like to admit that we've done wrong. You know what? Children are born, and we're born in our sinful nature. And we don't have to teach our children to not admit that they've done something wrong. They learn it from their sinful nature. You don't have to teach children to lie. They learn it from their sinful nature. You don't have to teach a teenager that their life is not complete. They learn it from the world around them every day. And so it is painful to admit that we've sinned. Not painful on the outside, but painful to our spirit. Because you see, we have been telling ourselves for years that if I do this, if I can get this object, if I can get a nicer house, if I can get a better car, if I can get a better job, that I'll be fine. That'll take care of the feeling inside of me. But the truth is, one of our early theologians called it a God-shaped hole. We were created in Adam and Eve and in the garden to commune with God. And once we stopped communing with God, a God-shaped hole came into our lives. I'll see if I've got this deep enough to get that to come out. No. And once we confess, once we admit that we have sinned and we need Jesus, then we have to believe on him. Now, in the scripture, it says to those who believe and receive. So I don't want you to say, okay, I believe there's a God. I'm done. It's gone. It's like getting a gift and never opening it. That's what believing is without receiving. So we have to receive him as our Lord and Savior. And then we confess. And confession is messy. You don't think so? Think back. Think back to when you were talking to Jesus and you were confessing. You were confessing that you thought you could do it on your own. You're confessing that you love things more than him. You have to confess that you did activities that he did not approve of. Have you ever had to confess to your parent that you did something wrong? Is it scary? The kids are all going, don't make me say this out loud. It is. And it's messy. You're not exactly sure how it's going to turn out. But you, just like you need to confess to God, you sometimes have to go back and try and make things right with other people. I don't like to have to admit I was wrong. I don't like to admit I didn't treat them right. I'm not a Paul type of Christian. I'm a Peter type of Christian. I just got to tell you. I love Peter. Peter messed up so many times while he was trying to follow Jesus. I'm so glad his story's in there in the Bible, Because if it was just like the Paul-type Christians who believed on the road of Damascus and then never turned back or never seemed to turn back and faced all kinds of things and never seemed to face the struggles that I did to become a Christian, I would be so discouraged. I'm so glad that the stories of King David are in the Bible. Not just his stories of killing Goliath, but his stories of falling back into sin with Bathsheba. Because if I only saw David as the giant slayer, I would never be able to be like him. I had to know. Is that my favorite story in the Bible? Bathsheba? No, it's not. Is it an important story in the Bible? Yes. And so we have to confess, and we have to try and make right. And sometimes we have to give up addictions that we have. And that's hard work. It's hard work. But when the process is done, an exciting thing happens. Jesus' light. It worked at home. Don't you just love it when things work at home? You can bring me mine if you want. Oh, she's got a flashlight. Woohoo! I was about to put my phone in there. Yay, Tracy. And look at there, you had to get up on the platform. Oh, dear. Okay, so the light's in there. And here's our little faces. The light's in there. But the scripture also talks us about when we have a light and we turn it on, we don't cover it up. Or we shouldn't cover it up. It doesn't go out and be seen well that way. So Jesus cleans the sin out of our lives, but does he clean all the consequences of our sin out of our lives? No. No. We may still have to live with an illness caused by addiction. We may still have to deal with the results of a broken marriage. We may still have to deal with things that we have done, mistakes that we've made. But not the guilt. Jesus wants to take the guilt away and give us peace and give us joy. So then we're going to now look in Matthew. Now, if you go back to the middle of your Bible and then take the back half and you push, open it in the middle, you should be about in Matthew. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels of the New Testament. Then the difference is, you know, between the Old Testament and the New Testament is the Old Testament was written prior to Christ's return to the earth, or coming to the earth in the Christmas story. The New Testament was written after. And so we're looking in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew's chapter 5, 6, and 7 is called the Sermon on the Mount. It's a great sermon. Every pastor ought to know it because it is a sermon of Jesus, and it takes about 20 minutes. So I think all pastors just preach about 20 minutes. So anyway, well, that's just a little joke. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and they give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. It's Matthew 5, 14 to 16. So we've been given a light to shine. So here is our light down here. Is it shining well? What do we need to do to make it shine better? We need to make more openings, right? We have to make more openings. And so when Jesus is in our lives, we talked about this in small groups today. So that is like salvation, justification. I love the word justification because it means that when you believe and you've accepted and you've confessed, it is just as if you've never sinned. Justification, just as if you never sinned. And so at that point in time, Jesus keeps working in our lives. Holy Spirit, Godhead three in one. You know, we understand that Jesus in flesh doesn't live inside of our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit. And he starts taking away those things, and we confess, and we get closer to him, and we start praying, and we start reading our Bible, and we start fellowshipping with believers, and we start going to small group and worship services. Things that help us to let our light shine, actually Jesus' light that he's given us, to shine in a darkened world. So it keeps going. And then we get to where we think we're not doing too bad. Our light's starting to shine. People are starting to see that our lives are different than they were when we were sinning and when we were trying to fill up our lives with things that God did not approve of. And we know. And it just keeps, he keeps showing us new things and we keep looking. And at some point in time, the sin is out of our lives. Not the temptation like we talked about in small group this morning, but the sin. Sin goes out of our lives. And our lights are shining. But are they shining as well as they could shine? Is Jesus done with us? Jesus is never done with us. And as we continue to pray and as we continue to study, he teaches us the difference between that which is good and that which is better. So pretty soon you look, oh, wow, I'm spending an awful lot of time watching television. There's nothing wrong with television. It's a box with wires. But there are some things wrong with some of the things that we watch on television. And God, pretty soon, he starts talking to us and he's like, you know, that you're watching is not something that I enjoy. There are better ways to use your time. There are better things to do. Then pretty soon, you know, so you get that. Then pretty soon he starts talking about how you spend your money. You know, and I have to tell you, I'll just confess right here. I have a hard time walking past anything chocolate. And it's very hard sometimes for me to go through the Walmart and not come out of the Walmart with chocolate. But God starts talking to you and he starts saying, you know, there are people in the world who are hungry. There are people in the world who need Jesus. and you don't really need that chocolate. And some things are a struggle to get rid of. But as we continue to walk with him and continue to listen to him, we've got to take care of how we use our money. Then God starts talking to us about a relationship. He says, this relationship is not bringing you closer to me. Or you are not bringing the person in this relationship closer to me. That means that you need to be witnesses to the people around you. And you need to be sharing about Jesus, leading other people. And then one of the final things he says is, I want you to give me your everything. So when you wake up in the morning, I don't want you to say, what am I going to do today? You're going to say, okay, this is my plan, Jesus, but if you want something else for today, it's okay. If I don't ever get any of my whatever it was I had planned to do done, it's okay. And he starts saying about how he needs to be more important than your spouse, and he needs to be more important than your children. He needs to be more important than your job. And your light continues to shine brighter and brighter and brighter for him. That's what God wants from you. So when he's talking about let your light shine, he's saying, I want more of your light to shine. Some of you might be sitting there and saying, my light's shining just fine. And God says, wait a minute. What about this little area of your life? Are you doing the best with this area of your life? And so he keeps talking. When we hide our light, we help no one. No one can see in the darkness. And God commands us to share our light. In the Old Testament, there's a story about King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah knew that the Assyrians were going to come and invade the kingdom. And they were on their way to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem had a flaw. It had strong walls, but it had a flaw. It did not have fresh water. And in the olden days, when there was a siege or a war, the army would surround the city, and sometimes they would just wait for the people to become so hungry and so thirsty that they would become weak and they would be able to then attack. And so Hezekiah knew that that was a flaw in the city of Jerusalem, and so he built a tunnel from a fresh water source under the wall and into Jerusalem, and he hid that. Now, interestingly enough, without modern technology, without GPS and all of those things, these men started to build this tunnel from both ends and met in the middle. They only missed by a couple inches of actually meeting in the middle, because God is always in control, even when we don't have our GPS. Doug and I were in Israel a few years ago, and more than a few, and we walked through Hezekiah's tunnel. Now, let me just tell you a little bit. You know, understand that they're trying to get water in. So when you are walking through Hezekiah's tunnel, at some points you're up to your waist in water. And sometimes they never went back and smoothed these walls or the walkway. So there are holes and there are ups and there are downs you can't see under the water. And sometimes the walls feel like they're coming in like this, because they are. And there's no electric lights down there. And our guide gave every third person a candle about this big to walk through Hezekiah's tunnel. So there we are. We're in the middle of the tunnel. And somebody drops a candle and it gets a little darker. Or it literally, the candle burnt down so far that they had to drop the candle or burn their finger. And we're still walking. It does not take very much light to change darkness. So when you feel like your light is not very big, know that people are still seeing that piece of light. And when you're carrying your light through life, it's just like Hezekiah's tunnel. Sometimes you feel like you're this deep in muck. Now, personally, I was glad that there wasn't a whole lot more light because I think there were creatures in there. Of various types and styles that I was glad I didn't see. Isn't it nice that sometimes Jesus blinds us to the struggles in life and he's working on things we didn't even know were coming? And sometimes you tripped. Either you tripped up or you tripped down. But your light could still shine. And sometimes you felt like the whole weight of the world was coming in this way. But your light still can shine. I just want you to know that for some bizarre reason, I don't usually have a lot of claustrophobic, but for some bizarre reason in the middle of that tunnel, I had this terrible enclosed feeling. You know how that gets? We all get that way sometimes. It's like this, you know, I can't pass out in the middle of Hezekiah's tunnel. And so I had to go back and remind myself that that mountain had stood for a long time and that tunnel had been there for a long time. And if it was going to fall on me right now, it was God's will for some bizarre reason. And yet, I could see the light. Just the little bit of light. So my question today to you is your light shining? And if your light is shining, is there something blocking it? So people are having a hard time seeing your light. I also want to encourage you, because there are days when I feel like my light is pretty dim. I'm tired. I have too much work to do. And yet, my little bit of light can make a difference in somebody else's darkness. Let's go make a difference in the darkness today. Make a difference. Let your light shine in the darkness. Have a blessed week.
Thank you, Pastor Renee. Let's give her another hand. That was a great message. Will you stand and worship with us one more time?
Everyone, I can smell pumpkin. I have a few announcements as we're closing today. Jeanette and Pastor John are enjoying a pastor appreciation potluck dinner at Lost Lake Church this morning. They appreciate their pastor just like we do. Don't we appreciate him?
Absolutely.
And we appreciate Renee today.
Amen.
Pastor Renee. I believe they indicated they're planning on stopping here at the conclusion of the service, but I don't know if they made it or not. You're invited on Wednesday nights to a prayer meeting here. We sing a couple of songs, read scripture, and pray. We pray for the requests sent to us by Chaplain Larry Jones at KSB. We pray for those we don't yet know in Christ as their personal Savior. There are prayer request cards on the tech table back behind you that you can fill out and put in the basket, and they'll be lifted up to God in prayer. Then now we got the Christmas season coming up, don't we? Dixon Christmas Walk, December 1st. If you haven't been a part of it, oh boy, is it fun. It's a lot of fun. Please mark your calendars now. Plan to attend and help hosting with our community at the Living Well Community Room. Your help is needed with construction, decorations, baking cookies, greeting all who stop by. So if those are anything, any part of that you can fulfill, we'd love to have you help out. Dixon One, the worship night is November 12th at Dixon High School. And there's a flyer, I believe, inside our bulletins this week. You can check that out. That's a wonderful praise night where the community comes together and just worships God. All different denominations. It's just very powerful to praise God with all those people. And then today we have welcomed Reverend Renee as she brought us the message this morning. Renee currently serves as our Northwest Illinois District Missions Chairman and is the former pastor of the Kewanee Church. Most recently, she served on the staff at Princeton New Hope as children's pastor. We're just thankful for you today, and God bless you as we close with the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
God bless you guys. You are dismissed.
Yes.